Loving Father, now playing.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Today, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. We'll talk about some of the issues in the news and see where you'd like to take this discussion. When we open up the phone lines, the number to call is 813-239-9663. James Lyles is our phone producer today. And you can also email your comments into the studio here at dj@wmnf.org. Well, first, two listener comments about last... On Tuesday's show, we're talking about incivility in politics, and here's what a couple of listeners had to say after the show was over.
Calling regarding the 11 o'clock show yesterday, with your political guest you had on yesterday, I recall he's a Democrat. Regarding the Republicans and Democrats, neither one, I think, addresses the issue or speak clearly to the people on our concerns, so maybe we should have a Democrat-Socialist run and a given equal airtime across the board to speak their point of what we maybe want to hear, because certainly the Democrats nor the Republicans are doing a fantastic job from either side at the state level of addressing those concerns publicly of what the other side and themselves are short of doing. New York City recently in the primary elected a Democrat Socialist, and when I hear persons on the Democrat or Republican side say that person is going to be increasing welfare, we don't know that individual person. That individual person hasn't been asked what they allocate money from. The point is, the public is not getting a good chance to ask these candidates. So I wish your radio show would consider hosting an event for a governor primary debate here in Tampa. Maybe contact University of Tampa or the community college to use their facility. Somebody could be step up and do this. That'd be a beautiful thing. Bye-bye.
Hey, my name's Nick. I'm from St. Pete. I just wanted to first off say I appreciate this show. I'm troubled by the issue, and I'm always thankful for WMNF's relevant subject matter. Now, I heard the caller mention Antifa in regards to the left moving further left. Now, Antifa has nothing to do with being a Democrat, and most would not identify as a Democrat. Anti-fascism is viewed as self-defense within the movement. The system here in America is inherently violent, and the so-called right is currently in control of that system. The reason the right feel threatened is that our culture is a white supremacist culture. We're white supremacists in nature, and they benefit from that. They benefit from the supremacy, although most will claim that they feel prosecuted. The mainstream culture has to be willing to give up part of their position in order to gain some equality for all people in this country. The working class also feels more pressure as anti-working class policies are put into effect, which just adds to added strain. So it's difficult to negotiate with a boot on your face, figuratively speaking, and it all comes down to who you blame. Do you blame the minorities? Do you blame the poor? Or do you blame the system that's in power? Now, on incivility, like I said before, the people are feeling powerless. Now, if people feel like they have no power, the official should have to answer to the people. We answer to them every day, so they need to answer from us every day.
Leave a comment about today's show. All through my life, I've heard protesters. I never thought much about whether I agreed with them or disagreed with them at various events in my life, because it's our right to protest. It's almost an obligation to protest. I have to say, though, what I hear now going on today, it doesn't sound so much like protest as much as it is mean-spirited and very ugly. And I'd like to say this. Dr. Martin Luther King accomplished so much in this country, and he never once said, go hit him in the head.
Well, three listener comments that came in after Tuesday's show. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We're going to open up the phone lines and talk about some items in the news. And if there's something that you want to bring up that you've heard here on the news on WMNF, or maybe you've read in the newspaper, if you've read online, or maybe you've seen on television, please call us up if you want to discuss something that's in the news. Number to call again, 813-239-9663. 9663. Well, Tampa police say a man was injured by celebratory gunfire while visiting Busch Gardens yesterday. Authorities say the man was struck by a bullet above the shoulder blade about 10 p.m. last night and treated for injuries that aren't considered life-threatening. Stray bullets can kill when fired into the air, and some people have the practice of shooting guns off during fireworks during July 4th. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say the bullets return to the ground faster than 200 feet per second with enough force to penetrate the human skull. There were two other incidents reported last night in Tampa in which falling bullets damaged property. Well, President Trump is closing in on his next Supreme Court nominee, with three federal judges leading the competition to replace retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy. Trump's top contenders for the vacancy at this time are federal appeals judges Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, and Raymond Kethledge. That's according to a person familiar with Trump's thinking who spoke with the Associated Press. Trump plans to announce his selection Monday night, kicking off a contentious nomination process as Republicans seek to shift the court to the right further and Democrats strive to block the effort. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Well, U.S. Senator John Tester out in Montana is giving President Trump a tongue-in-cheek welcome to Montana today by taking out a full-page ad in 14 newspapers thanking the president for signing 16 bills that the Democrats sponsored or co-sponsored. Trump is holding a rally today in Great Falls to campaign for Tester's Republican challenger. Tester's ad runs today in the Great Falls Tribune and other newspapers across northern and eastern Montana. It says, "Welcome to Montana and thank you, President Trump, for supporting John's legislation to help veterans and first responders, hold the VA accountable, and get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government." Well, more problems uncovered in Florida's concealed weapons permit screening process. A 2012 internal investigation released this week to the Associated Press after a records request found that 48 Florida state employees made mistakes while issuing concealed weapons permits and armed security guard or similar licenses. One employee resigned, one was fired, others were suspended or reprimanded. The review found three approved licenses that need to be revoked entirely. Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services Commissioner Adam Putnam, a Republican candidate for governor, was criticized last month after acknowledging that the agency revoked 291 permits awarded in 2016 and 2017 and fired an employee last year. So apparently there are more problems in the screening process for concealed weapons permits here in the state of Florida. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Well, for months, ProPublica and Frontline, the PBS series, have been working to identify the white supremacists at the center of violent demonstrations across the country, including the infamous Unite the Right rally last August in Charlottesville, Virginia. The Rise Above movement, that's a Southern California group that expresses contempt for Muslims, Jews, and immigrants, became a focus of that effort. ProPublica and Frontline were able to quickly identify a number of the group's leaders and find evidence that put them in the middle of violence in Charlottesville and Berkeley, California, among other places. But one seeming member of the group, Rise Above Movement, was hard to nail down. In a video shot in Charlottesville, a bearded husky man is seen in a red Make America Great hat with his hand wrapped in tape that came in handy for the brawling that occurred that day. During one encounter, the unidentified man in the red hat pushed an African-American protester to the ground and began pounding on him. Video of the episode shows moments later a known RAM member choked and bloodied a pair of female counter-protesters. The possible RAM member also had turned up in a video shot during hours of combat at a Trump rally in Berkeley as well. Wearing protective goggles to ward off pepper spray, the man fought alongside RAM members, wrestling one protester to the ground and punching him. Ultimately, ProPublica and Frontline determined the man in the violent footage was a guy named Michael Micellus, a University of California doctoral student, UCLA doctoral student. He's pursuing a PhD in UCLA's aerospace engineering program. Micellus was identified using video footage and social media posts, and reporters confirmed his identity in an encounter with him outside his home. In interviews, a number of California law enforcement officials said Micellus was a member of RAM. In addition to his scholarly pursuits, Micellus works as a systems engineer for Northrop Grumman, the giant defense contractor, with a plant in Redondo Beach, California. Several current and former employees at Northrop Grumman told ProPublica and Frontline that Micellus has received a security clearance to work in computer modeling and a simulation group with Northrop's aerospace division. Public affairs officers at the Defense Department declined to comment about Micellus and his security clearance. So the question is raised, how did a member of a far right-wing group get a security clearance from the federal government? And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And you may have heard this earlier this week. Alex Jones, the right-wing radio host, was predicting that liberals would start a civil war yesterday.
Going back 18, 19 months ago, establishment publications that don't communicate with the general public, but establishment publications that communicate with the governmental and corporate institutions, began to develop a plan for a civil emergency using civil unrest, racial strife in America to force Trump out. That was in Atlantic Monthly. It was in the Financial Times of London. It was in New Yorker Magazine. And then I saw them right after Trump got into office, test it out on MSNBC and CNN. We need a civil emergency. We need a civil war. We need to remove Trump. He's going to destroy the economy. He's a Russian agent, blah, blah, blah. So I saw them test running. So I went on air and I said, look, they're planning a civil war. They're planning all this unrest. They're planning to do more cop killing, Black Lives Matter. This is a plan by the globalists to do this. This is where they're saying, use the 25th Amendment to remove the president during the crisis, extrajudicially, all of it. And so then I saw George Soros' Media Matters and CNN all make me the main enemy. And I had a big audience, and we were important, but not that important. As soon as I began to beat the drum and go, look, they're calling for martial law, they're calling for civil unrest, they're calling for a civil war, they went crazy and would say, Jones is lying, no one called for that. Even though I'd show you dozens of articles, and I'd show you internal emails that had gotten leaked, the Democrats talking to their constituents and their fundraisers, their donors, saying, don't worry, we're going to launch a civil war. Because they didn't want us to get the jump on them, what they were planning. If you're launching a sneak attack, you don't want it out there. But now, in the middle of 2018, already into July, hard to believe, people are like, oh, Alex, you're really telling the truth. How did you know they were planning civil war? They're all over HBO and Bill Maher and CNN and MSNBC and ABC News and Michael Moore's everywhere saying surround the Capitol, surround them, uprise, get violent. How did you know? I told you. I'm not that smart.
Alex Jones earlier this week predicting that yesterday civil war would break out in the United States, that liberals would lead the charge, and Alex Jones naming the people that are his enemies, news outlets and media figures that he doesn't like. Well, the civil war did not break out yesterday, and it's not the first time that Jones has predicted that there would be a civil war. He predicted that back in November of last year, claiming that George Soros was flying activists around the country to start a civil war. Well, that never happened. But what is Jones trying to do? Why is he trying to get his followers so angry, so worked up? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Adam writes this regarding a news item. He says, I just read an article yesterday that Pfizer again raised the price of about 100 drugs this year. Trump talked a big game about lowering drug prices, yet they just continue to rise. I wish people would realize that Trump's actions don't match his words. He didn't take the action of having the government negotiate drug prices like he claimed he would. That's something I, as a Democrat, would support Trump doing, writes Adam. Let's take some phone calls. Our phone number again, 813-239-9663. You can also send your email in like Adam did to dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Jim and Ruskin. Jim, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hey, Rob.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Hold on, I got to turn off my radio. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and Jim, don't eat up your time because we want to get a lot of people on the show. So tell us what's on your mind.
Right. I have a couple of points that are brief. Okay, the first one being some wise man somewhere back in the past said that people get the leaders they deserve, and when Dolt 45 took office, I thought I don't deserve this guy. You know, I didn't vote for him. But then I realized I didn't do anything to, counter what's going on. Okay. So now I'm going to start getting that. The other thing is that, bear with me here. Never mind. I'll call you back another time.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot. Thanks for starting the show. All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, usually these first few phone calls, too, will really determine the direction that the show goes. So if there's an issue that you want to comment about, maybe something that I raised there in the first few minutes, please call us up, 813-239-9663. Or if you have an issue that you think has been underreported or under-discussed, we can talk about that one, too. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Steve, who's in Tampa. Hi, Steve, you're on. What would you like to talk about? Steve, did I get you? Steve, you're there. What would you like to say?
Alex Jones does what he does. It's very simple. Numbers. He wants more people to listen. The more outrageous he is, the more people will tune in to go, wow, what's that?
But how many times does he have to be wrong before people start to turn him off?
Oh, who knows? I mean, I mean, it's one of those imponderables, but at least I can tell you why he does it. You know, it's, because people want to hear that. They want to, and it's entertaining, I'll admit.
Yeah, it is entertaining because, the guy is just about to bust a vein on every show.
Yeah.
So it is very entertaining to watch him. But some people get very worked up. I'm sure they go out and buy more guns. They buy, any sort of ammunition they can get their hands on. They think that, the left is going to attack them. The left is probably the most unarmed group of people in the country. But to think that they're going to start a civil war is ridiculous.
Oh. Rob, it goes back to the 90s. I mean, you remember the whole Patriot militia movement, and at one point they were going to do a march on Washington, that Linda Thompson lady, and I'll admit, I was sitting there waiting for it, like looking forward to it, like, good, this is going to be cool, man, but it never happened.
Yeah, but I just wonder, is he paid by the gun manufacturers so that really crazy right-wing people who are all paranoid go out and buy guns, or, what?
I don't know, but what I did call to talk about, Rob, is I think I finally figured out what the whole immigration thing is about. And I heard it on a talk show, and it suddenly hit me, they're telling the truth. It's not about MS-13, it's not about drug running, it's not about terrorism or any of that. It is that they are not going to be able to win these people to vote Republican. If they came into this country and were all going to vote conservative, they'd let them in.
Well, I raised that question the other day. We had tens of thousands of people come in during the Mariel boat left and as people were leaving Cuba after Castro took over. We had tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people coming here. And not once did anybody object, yet they all turned out to be mostly Republican voters. So, and they were given big handouts from the government. The current refugees don't get handouts from the government, but there's something called the Cuban Adjustment Act, which really pays hundreds of millions of dollars to people that move here from Cuba if they were fleeing the Castro government. And, there was not a peep, and you, Steve, you were around in the 80s. I was around in the 80s. I remember that. Nobody complained and let all these people in, and now suddenly you've got a few people leaving El Salvador or Honduras because of the drug wars and because of the violence, and suddenly you've got all of Fox News and all of its followers up in arms over something that had... you're right. I mean, had they been Republicans leaving from Honduras, there would not be a peep.
Yeah, that's I agree with you. That's and like I said, it takes a little while for me to get it, but it it suddenly just hit me when I heard that on the radio, because this guy was going, how many of these refugees do you think are going to vote Republican once they get here? And I'm like, I got it.
But where was that guy in 1980, 1990, as people were leaving Cuba?
I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, Rob, I'm out, man.
Okay, Steve, thanks. All right, you're listening to a live show on WMNF, 88.5 FM. Let's go to John in South Tampa. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
We really do need, I don't know about your opinion, but we really do need 3 hours of you every day. Sorry. I don't know how you feel about that. But anyway, 2.5 years ago, approximately, I wrote an email using the city's of Tampa's email to the mayor. And I said, Mr. Mayor, I said, you're popular. You're a great guy. I was very complimentary. And I said, really, it's time to lower the speed limit on Bayshore to 25. It's the crown jewel of the area. It's a multi-use area. People have already been maimed and killed. Please lower it. And I ended up getting a very cold, analytical response from a highway manager of some kind, telling me that the city is not responsible for that road. It's a state road highway, and it's subject to state rules, and they can't do anything about it. And I said, okay, whatever. And I urged the mayor in my email to use his political clout, you know, and his popularity. I said, you know, sure, you'll be unpopular with some of the crazy commuters, and don't get me wrong, I was a crazy commuter for 40 years, so I know their pain. I feel their pain. But at the same time, it's a beautiful highway, 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, and be done with it. You have the beautiful, depending on which way you're going, you have the beautiful vista of the city with the bay in front of it. It's a gorgeous view. On the other side, you have all these mansions and manicured properties, and it's like, gee, it's like it's not a bad view, and, you know, a difference of 25 miles an hour, which really means 35, let's face it.
Yeah.
35.
So,
really.
So the mayor said no. Buckhorn said no.
Well, he didn't say anything. I got a cold response.
Yeah.
But he's saying that now. They did lower it to 35, but still, it's too fast. You have too many, just what we saw happen recently with the death. This poor lady in a baby stroller. I mean, you have joggers pushing babies in jogging strollers.
Yeah, John, let me just say quickly, you know, M&F started just a few blocks from Bayshore. We were on South Boulevard, and for the entire time I've lived in Tampa, I've lived, you know, within 5 or 6 or 7 blocks of Bayshore. You do take your life in your hands when you cross Bayshore, especially anytime after 3 p.m. in the afternoon going to 7 o'clock at night. You're taking your life in your hands when you do that.
I use it every day.
Do you walk on Bayshore every day?
No, I bicycle.
Yeah.
I go all the way from Euclid to the Tampa General Hospital.
Wow.
It's 8
miles. I love that. I love that.
It's 8 miles. Well, I can either end up at Tampa General Hospital in an ambulance for lack of exercise, or I can do it on my bicycle and look at the view and go home.
Yeah.
Thanks,
well,
thanks for
all right, John, thanks. You were ahead of your time. Thanks, John.
Yeah,
thanks. And John suggested I have 3 hours. No, I don't need 3 hours, but we got a really great program coming up. It's a new program hosted by the Surly Feminists, and they're going to be on most Thursdays from now on, and they're coming up in the next hour on the Midpoint program. Brand new group of women, very diverse, and we're going to see what they want to talk about today at noon. The Surly Feminists starting a new show on WMNF. Let's go to Chip in Tampa. Chip, you're on. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I want to say first, Rob, that Republicans are a huge problem for a long list of reasons. At the top of that list are their climate denying, warmongering, and trickle-down economic ways that are taking down the country, if not the whole planet. Unfortunately, which really compounds this problem, is that the Democrats are not an answer, not a solution. They are more, as a party, they're more complicit to what the Republicans push for than they are opposition.
Well, Chip, let me ask you on that point. First of all, I think there are a few Republicans that think that climate change is a big problem. But that skipping
there are
that
a few,
though.
But I'm talking about the party as a whole.
But to your last point, Is it that the Democrats just are, you know, in some sort of implicit agreement with the Republicans, or the Democrats weak and have no backbone? What would you say?
Well, I would say they're complicit in that they don't put up nearly enough opposition. In fact, I would say they barely put up any at all. And there's a reason for that. Both parties have been taken over by corporations and the 1%. And compounding this situation even further is that those safe groups, corporations, and the extreme wealthy have also taken over mainstream media. And I cringe when I hear people like you say, and this isn't criticism, I've learned a heck of a lot from you and your station, but recently you said something to the effect that, well, you try to listen to CNN and Fox, so you hear both sides of the story. And I'm telling you, you're hearing both sides of basically a counterfeit coin. And that from the New York Times, the Washington Post, to MSNBC, and CNN, Fox, they're all avoiding the issues that are most affecting our lives. They're basically spokespeople for the corporations. And
Well, Chip, in my defense, you wouldn't believe how widely I read. I mean, I go beyond those two sources that you talk about. But tell us, where do you get reliable information that you can take to the bank and use as a way to make up your mind?
Well, first, I would urge people to wean themselves off of mainstream media, because you're just not getting the facts. You're getting propaganda, or you're getting complete avoidance of the key issues. But I love Jimmy Dore. Chris Hedges is a great source. There's a number of YouTube channels that are good. RT, Free Speech America, Tom Hartman is okay. A lot of the Noam Chomsky. But what I want to really get to is that, for Democrats, their biggest adversary actually is not Republicans. And for Republicans, their biggest adversary is not Democrats. For 90% of Americans, the biggest adversary right now is the 1% in corporations. And we need to change our mindset as to viewing how we view elections and candidates and politics in general. Instead of this red versus blue, we need to start looking at the 90% versus.
Well, you know, Chip, I don't know if you remember all the times that we brought Jim Hightower to town, and now yeah. his commentaries are only on twice a week now. But Jim used to say that it's not the difference between Democrats and Republicans; it's between the people at the bottom and the top. And Jim Hightower, just like you. You know, you would agree with him. Hightower was saying that back in the 80s. He was making that distinction. I mean, Jim's wife just died, so he's not doing very well. I think emotionally Jim's having a hard time, but I hope he bounces back, because we really need Jim's voice. He would agree with you.
Oh, he's a great voice, and unfortunately you won't hear voices like that on mainstream media.
Well, you do hear him on our HD3 channel, and Jimmy Dore is over on HD3, and Ralph Nader's over on HD3, and Ralph speaks a lot. And Chris Hedges, is over on HD3 too, so you can hear a lot of those voices there.
Right,
and you can hear some of those voices here on the main channel.
I know that, and I have, and that's where I've learned about a lot of those people. And I'm not at all implying that MNF is mainstream media, but. No matter how big our differences are over abortion and guns and gay rights and immigration, we need to put those differences aside and find a way to unite the 90% of people and unite over, the issues of climate change and trickle-down in economics and the Pentagon spending.
All right.
And what we need more than anything, we need to unite, and then we need candidates that we can back.
All right, Chip, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. All right, Chip, thank you. 813-239-9663. Boy, it's finally time to get a woman on the air. Let's get Sharon in Zephyr Hills. Hey, Sharon, you're on. What would you like to say?
Oh, wow, I didn't expect it down so quickly.
We're trying to do some affirmative action here, although I think it's being outlawed nationally, but we're going to try to continue doing it here.
Well, thank you so much. I completely agree with the gentleman that was just on. And I just wanted to comment that years ago, Alex Jones was recommended to me by a gentleman who was in Army Intelligence.
He said, now listen to him a few times before you make up your mind, because he's a little out there. He's since then become more out there, but and I don't actually listen to Alex anymore because he looks like he might have an aneurysm any second. And but he has a lot of good guests on. He has a lot of people that used to be in the NSA and CIA and FBI and all kinds of other organizations that have valuable information for American citizens to know. So I wouldn't discount InfoWars completely. I just, like I said, I don't listen to Alex himself anymore because he's way.
Well, Sharon, in the last year, I always tell this story that Jones said last year that he had inside information that the UN was going to send troops to Chicago. He had inside information. Okay, so based on what you said, that he sometimes has ex-intelligence officers on, I thought, okay, I'm going to pay attention to this. Well, it turns out that he had a guy calling from a phone booth or something, just calling on his cell phone, saying that he read in the newspaper that a city council member, they don't call them council members, what do they call them in Chicago? Had called on the UN to consider coming to Chicago to stop gun violence. It was one, you know, city assembly member, whatever, you know, that position isn't, that's not council member. And it was just a guy who had read a newspaper article about what one city council member said. Jones did not have any inside source. He had a guy just really, in a very poor way, spinning what he had read in the newspaper. So I discount Alex Jones. I think he's full of hot air, and I think he's trying to sell you stuff.
Well, actually, his vitamins are outstanding.
Okay, that's my point entirely.
They really are excellent. They're the top of the notch quality. And
I'm sure he spends a lot of time mixing those vitamins.
No, they are very, very potent. I'm saying this, I used to get my vitamins from my chiropractor's office, and they're even better than that. I would recommend those to everyone. They're absolutely, especially the one that has the turmeric in it. So important.
You can buy turmeric on your own, you know.
Pardon?
I said you can buy turmeric on your own, you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know, but it's you can't just take it in a soup.
Only Alex has a way to mix it, I guess.
No. No, you're just counting that too much.
He's a crackpot. I'm sorry, Sharon. He is a crackpot, and, you know, just like he predicted there was going to be a left-wing uprising yesterday causing a civil war, that's a crackpot idea. He mentioned in November of last year there was going to be a left-wing uprising, and that was a crackpot idea, and it got all sorts of people unnecessarily scared.
I know. That's why I said I don't listen to him anymore. But on his show, he has other hosts.
Oh, he has crackpots. They're just like the guy who called in from Chicago that said he had inside information. Well, he had read a newspaper. Well,
no, you're talking about someone who called to Alex.
This is one of Alex's informants.
Yes, but I'm talking about people who are guests on the show.
Crackpots.
Their picture's there. Their history is there.
No, it's not. It's not very good history. If it was fact checked, it wouldn't pass the fact check.
I have a degree in political science, and I'm a retired history teacher. I do know what I'm talking about here.
Where'd you go to school?
I started at Miami University in Ohio and finished at USF.
Well, Miami University in Ohio, very good school. Yeah. Sharon, I think we're going to have to disagree. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I apologize. I don't like to hurt people's feelings.
You're discounting too many things because of Alex.
Well, I don't.
I said I don't listen to him anymore.
Yeah, well, he and all of his informants are crackpots. Hey, Sharon, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. Letting us know what you think.
Let me ask one more thing. Are you there?
Yep.
Do you listen to any of the other hosts on the show?
Yeah, I've watched InfoWars extensively, and you know, it's just filled with innuendo and hate. I mean, they clearly don't like immigrants. They clearly don't like, they haven't gone full-blown anti-Semite, but they make stuff up about the left. You know, and I know a lot of people on the left. I know, you know, the stuff that Alex is talking about is untrue.
Well, I was a Bernie supporter.
Okay. All right. Well, Sharon, I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just saying that we disagree.
We disagree about Alex.
Exactly. Sharon, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay. Sharon likes the vitamins. All right. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Wow, so much stuff. First of all, I have a friend who's a very, right wing, listens to Hannity. And I show him again and again and again where he misleads, lies, Limbaugh too, and Levin. He just won't buy it. He just keeps saying, oh, you're getting that liberal news. So I think that's the issue there. It doesn't matter how much you point out to these people, how much they lie and mislead. They're not going to believe you. But real quick on Bayshore, changing the speed limit doesn't seem to me to be that good. Sure, it'll slow some people down. But that accident that happened, those people were speeding. So the 25-mile speed limit wouldn't have changed a thing there. Maybe more speed cameras, speed bumps, something like that, that would really slow you down in conjunction with the speed limit being lowered to 25. Third thing, Cuba. Why did Cubans get it and El Salvadors didn't get it? I think it's pretty simple. Cuba was a U.S.-backed government overthrown by a socialist, where these other countries were socialist governments overthrown by the U.S. government. And finally, last thing, and I'm going to be quick about this because I think you're talking about gun rights. Second Amendment, first part says a well-regulated militia. And something I think that the conservatives love to point out, too, is the Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, the enumerated part of what the federal government is supposed to be in charge of, and that's it. And if you look at there towards the, it's like several paragraphs in, it says here regarding the Second Amendment, to provide for the calling forth of the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasion. And then it goes on to say to provide for the organizing, arming, and discipline the militia and the government, I'm misreading that.
Well, John, you know, I've tried to make this point a lot. I'm one of these people, and you know, there are, I think there's enough historians that would back me up that at least it's a strong stream of historians, would say that the Founding Fathers did not believe in having a standing army or a standing military. And right. And because they saw what had happened in their home countries. They saw what happened when the king controlled an army. And so they did not want to have a standing army. But they wanted the ability to raise an army should there be an insurrection or should there be an attack from the outside. And so that's why the Second Amendment is there. And I think there, wow. You know, now not everybody's going to agree with me. And you know, I really need to bring in a group of historians on the Second Amendment to talk about this. But my reading of the Second Amendment and the history behind it is that. And that goes, you're actually proving that point, too, by saying that. Yeah.
But you go back and look at the enumerated part, which I'm reading, that goes even more to that. It goes back to the fact that the government is to regulate the militia. It says here, if you look it up, you can probably read it a little bit better than me, but it says, part of them should be employed by service by the United States, receiving to the appointed, the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. So to me, the militia is prescribed by Congress, not some guy out there with a M16 or an automatic weapon. That is not a militia.
Yeah. John, tell us which part of the Constitution are you reading right now?
I'm reading out of Article 1, Section 8. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Oh, we got you. Section 8 is okay. John, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
All right. John, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Great to hear from you. 813 Anonymous writes, Alex Jones is right about one thing. He's not that smart, writes 813. And Anto writes this, the reason they did that for the Cubans are that beginning got all that help is obvious. They wanted to make communism look very bad. That's all. It was nothing but good old PR, writes Anto. And then Ernie writes this, the most serious level of violence is that which results in death. The Republican congressman who was shot, and which was intended to be a massacre but for the Capitol Police, was not inspired by the right wing, who inspired it, writes Ernie. He says, is it reasonable to conclude that the attack on a country music concert in Las Vegas was inspired by a conservative? Was Rand Paul seriously injured by a right-wing conservative? I say both sides are guilty. The left is not innocent. I think that's right, Ernie. The left is not innocent, but I think of all those, you really got to read the ongoing dispute between Rand Paul and his neighbor. There's a big backstory there that's really not being reported. So I discount the Rand Paul thing. The Las Vegas thing, we don't really know. I've read some really good articles that suggest that the shooter hated the federal government. But I don't really know much more about the Las Vegas shooter. When it comes to the massacre at the or the attempted massacre at the ball game, last year, between the two congressional teams, that guy was a left winger. But I think that was, you know, that was one guy. He didn't kill anybody. There was some serious injury, no doubt about it. But I think Bernie Sanders came out immediately. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter, and Sanders distanced himself from that shooter right away. I think if you add up all the right wing shootings in the country versus the left-wing shootings and killings in the country, the right is outscoring the left in that ball game very, very bigly. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I could come up with them. I think the right-wing terrorism, it is a much bigger cause of damage in this country than is left-wing terrorism. Oklahoma City bombing just being one example. 813-239-9663. Bowen writes this about Bayshore. You could make the speed limit 15 miles an hour and it won't stop people from speeding, nor would it have saved that mom and child. Maybe it's time, even though I hate them, for traffic calming devices, writes Bowen. And James Lyles is our phone producer today. James, thank you. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Chris in Tampa. Chris, you're on WMNF. What's on your mind today?
Hello, thank you for having me. Well, you started our topic off with the Civil War issue. And
yeah, I said that Alex Jones predicted that the left was going to rise up and cause a civil war beginning yesterday. Yes, and I played the soundbite.
Yeah, I did a little research on Antifa, the black bloc, the extreme left people they don't really support nonviolence, versus the Patriots, which I really never heard of them before, which are like extreme right, fascist kind of thing. And, you know, these are like extreme groups, and every country is going to have extreme groups. And for the media, I'm glad the media isn't really focusing on these extremes, because that could just whip up a big frenzy unneeded. Because I think there's topics that we should be focusing on, like clean energy, education, job creation, trying to keep the planet from frying and polluting it with radioactivity and toxic sludge. I used to be a third party member. Now I'm NPA because I feel parties seem to be create divisiveness with the us and them mentality. And I think if we start, if everybody just starts talking about issues that are important, instead of, going to rallies and fighting each other, which could lead to some kind of civil war. I mean, that's my course. I think nonviolence is the way to go. Violence is always the last resort. And, the peaceful leaders of the world have always been violently assassinated, from Jesus to Gandhi to MLK. But that doesn't change, my opinion about not using violence to solve things. You know, the pen is mightier than the sword.
Yeah, well, Chris, I couldn't agree with you more. Thanks a lot. Violence is not the answer. I agree. All right. Thanks for that. Lenny in Englewood says, the solution to South and Central American immigrants is label those countries as communist, and then say that the immigrants are not fleeing violence, say they're communist refugees, and then the Republicans would love them and welcome them with open arms. That's Lenny from Englewood. Lenny, thanks for your email. We're getting a lot of people on the air today, as I always try to do. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And let's go to Jim and Ruskin. Jim, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I took the liberty of writing down what I wanted to say, so I won't have the memory lapse. I'm 71, and, you know, I'm in bad shape. But anyway, you know, Trump is having a hard time. He's, you know, really blackmailing Congress with this immigration thing because he wants that wall funded down there at the southern border. And
yeah, the one that Mexico was going to pay for.
Right, yeah. But now, the Statue of Liberty is composed of very high-grade copper, right? And copper scrap now is going at an all-time high. So what I wanted to suggest to our president, if I could ever get through to him, is that, you know, he scrapped the Statue of Liberty and, you know, get whatever he can for the copper skin. And then, you
since
know,
we're not using it anymore, we no longer need right. it. It's not really right. an emblem of this country anymore. Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, we could scrap out that little plaque with the prose of Emma Lazarus saying, send me your poor, your tired, your, you know, the
you're hungry, you're wretched. Yeah.
Wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah, we're not using it anymore. What the heck?
So we can get a couple bucks in scrap.
Recycle it, yeah, and then maybe that'll build the wall.
But I don't know how he's going to finance the wall with Canada.
I still want the Republicans to say to the president, you promised Mexico would pay for the wall, so we're not going to pay for it. The taxpayers are already tired of paying so much in taxes, so we want you, President Trump, to come up with that money. Go negotiate with Mexico. Let's see how you do.
And the other thing I wanted to point out was I missed most of the discussion on civility.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good show on Tuesday. Hope you listen on the archives. Yeah.
Anyway, maybe you could ask your listeners, like, at what point, now I know that, you know, we have had lapses in humanitarianism in this country, you know, like the extermination of the Native Americans, slavery, you know, the Japanese internments and stuff like that. But essentially, Americans are kind of humanitarian people. I mean, when did it go from that to the mean-spiritedness we're seeing everywhere, not just in politics, but in the workplace?
Yeah, that was a question I raised Tuesday. We never answered it, but I'll do another one of those shows and listen to the archives. All right, Jim.
All right, thanks,
drive
thanks,
safely.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks. Yeah. You are listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Thanks for tuning in. Somebody, Charles in Tampa, says, thank you so much for using the C word. It's long past due that this fictitious ideology from the right gets called out for being the crackpotism that it is. That's Charles. And then Charles, another Charles says, I do hope you wasted some free time on Twitter with Second Civil War and Second Civil War letters. This is how the left takes on the rantings of crackpots with humor. Yeah, there's some very funny responses to Alex Jones on Twitter. You should look them up. They all pretend that they're eyewitnesses from Ken Burns' Civil War series talking about the terrible Civil War and that you're not able to get a Starbucks like you used to. Pretty funny stuff. But I still stand, you know, I hurt that woman's feelings, but I stand by it. I think Alex Jones is a crackpot. And let's go to Mike, who's in Asheville. Mike, weigh in. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Well, if your show should find itself in need of its own crackpot informant, I would like to be the first to step up and offer my services.
Okay, good. And you're volunteering. And what's your crackpot idea today?
Well, I wanted to make an observation that living near the South Carolina-North Carolina border, I'm inundated with political ads, and I am taken by the fact that it doesn't matter what the race, the Republicans insert a crazy picture, crooked Hillary, in the middle of every ad. And it made me, back in the 80s when she was Bill's wife and he was governor, and then she's first lady, then Secretary of State, if she ever dreamed that this next generation is going to perceive Hillary Clinton as some sort of, as crooked Hillary, and the stereotype of a cackling witch, mad woman, is going to be stuck with her, much like Richard Nixon's image was tainted. And I can't think of another politician that has fallen so precipitously in the mind of the public.
Well, that's interesting. All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Thanks for checking in. All right, and let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, you're on. What would you like to say?
Oh, hi, Rob. That call before the last one mentioning the wall with Mexico, maybe if this new president-elect they have in Mexico turns out to be really good, we'll want to be going over there, and they're going to have to build a wall to keep us in here. That might happen. No, as far as Alex Jones goes, everything that he says, it reminds me of one of those kooky cult leaders that says the world is going to end on, say, November 28th, and then it doesn't happen. And there's one that keeps saying, okay, it didn't end now. Now it's going to end in 2 years, and then it doesn't happen then. Now it's going to end in a year. These are strictly for cults, these kind of things.
And you're right. And if you go to the religious TV shows these days, they're predicting the end of the world any week now, and they're selling all sorts of end-of-the-world food and, you know, kind
money,
of, yeah, they're making a lot of money off gullible people.
That's what it is. It's that's how they make their living. They're charlatans, and, there's always going to be people that fall for that stuff, but I hope some people that listen to Alex Jones finally figure it out. Maybe they will. And one more thing I want to say is, you know, like both sides, if I can add anything that people agree on that I've talked to, whether they voted for Trump or voted for the Democrats, everybody agrees that the politicians get too much money and it should stop. Nobody I have ever talked to said, oh yeah, it's wonderful that they get all these contributions from NRA or from big corporations. That's just wonderful. Let's keep that going. Everybody agrees that they make too much money that way.
Yeah, too much campaign money. All right, Fran, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right, great to hear from you. Let's go to Steve, who's in Sarasota. Hey, Steve, you're on. What would you like to say?
Well, firstly, Rob, I have enjoyed your work for a long time.
Thank you.
Secondly, I wanted to make a comment on the Electoral College Pact. It seems to me, and this is something I've been learning about as I've been reading through the Internet, that represents some real hope for our country. I understand that states across our country have been in the process of committing their electoral votes to go to whomever it is that wins the popular vote. My understanding is they've got more than half of the total that's required for them to be able to control the elections that way. I think they need about a little over 100 more electorals in order to be able to accomplish this. It seems to me that the whole justification for the Electoral College is sort of ridiculous right now. I mean, when it was adopted, the common folk did not know what was going on in the world. And it seems that the common folk have, if anything, they've got too much information.
not always the best kind. But yeah, people should look up the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact right now as of May. It's been adopted by 11 states and the District of Columbia. So far, they have 172 electoral votes. That's 32% of what they need. They're just trying to get the president to be elected by a popular vote and to do it without amending the Constitution. So, Steve, that's a great project. I'm glad you mentioned it.
And it seems to me that conservatives, Republicans, liberals, Democrats, anybody who has conviction about the candidates and the causes they support should support that. I mean, let's stop the gerrymandering, stop the cheating, and get people to feel in our country as though the people that we're hiring to represent us actually do.
Yeah, and it's not really a democracy if you're not electing by the popular vote. Steve, thanks for raising that. We haven't talked enough about that on the air, but thanks for raising it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Let's go to Mark, who's in Pinellas Park. Mark, we just have 30 seconds. Mark? Mark in Pinellas Park?
Ken.
20 seconds.
Yeah, this is Ken.
Okay, Ken, go ahead.
Ken. Yeah, I just wanted to refer your listeners to a video. It gives a lot of insight of who Alex Jones is. Just go ahead and Google Alex Jones' ex-wife, and it will bring up an interview with David Paxton, And she talks a lot about his insanity and how he needs mental help, and he lives in a bubble. It just really gives a lot of personal insight to who he is as a person, Alex Jones.
Yeah, I was really surprised one of our listeners called up to support him. All right, Steve, thanks a lot. Or Ken, thanks a lot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment about this show on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for the Surly Feminists. They're going to be hosting the next program, the Midpoint program, on WMNF in Tampa. First, we get the latest news from NPR.